Module 3, Offline Marketing. What is offline marketing? Basically, it's anything that's not on the internet. So it could be things in your local community that people can see. First, let's talk about business cards. And we're going to call these mini billboards. So a lot of people use business cards and they, you know, everybody does what they see everybody else doing. But that doesn't always work. So we want to use business cards the right way. So don't copy what you see most people doing with business cards, especially not real estate agents. Most people make their business cards all about them. They'll put a big picture of their face on it with their name. And in small print somewhere on the card, you might see something generic about real estate. Your business card should be focused on the benefit you can offer, what problem you can solve for the person who picks up your card. It's not about you, it's about them. Don't provide a lot of details unless you're using two-sided cards. You know, like on the back, you could put more information. But still, it's generally better to have something that gets attention on both sides because you never know which side people may see first. So keep your message simple and clear. Let's just look at a couple of examples. On the left is a sample real estate agent card. You know, and again, it's all about this guy, right? It's all about him. You see his picture big, his name is big, but what does he do for you? How is he going to help you? You know, it's not very clear. So some investors will follow this same pattern and make their cards look like that because they think, well, that's what people in real estate do. But on the right, we have a sample investor card. It doesn't have a lot of text. It doesn't have a picture of anybody. It just says, I buy houses fast, get an offer within 3 days. So the benefit to the person who picks up the card is very clear. They realize they can get an offer quickly on their house. They're not listing it with somebody. They're getting an offer. And the contact information is very large and clear, easy to see. There's a phone number and a website listed. So think about it. Which will get the attention of a motivated seller? Which one makes it clear what the benefit is to the seller? Or which one will get buried in a stack of other business cards and be forgotten? It's not about making a pretty business card, but making something that gets attention and makes the benefit clear and clearly shows how to contact you. Think of your business card like a mini billboard. Have you seen billboards where you don't know what it's advertising? How effective is that? Effective billboards have a clear message and you know exactly what to do if you're interested. Here's another example. Would this card make you stop and look closer? It looks like $100 bills are clipped to the back of a business card. The message and benefit to the seller is clear. They can sell their house fast and get cash. It's clear how to contact you. So which card will you remember longer? This one or the one with some guy's face on it? So the one with $100 bills on it, you're going to remember that one. So where can you get business cards? Well, if you can afford to go out and have some professionally done, that's great. You could use a local business, you know, like a print shop, or you can use an online service. And I'll share a resource where you can get the sample card that I just showed you with the $100 bills on it and some others. If you can't afford professional business cards, just find a free template and print it out on your computer. Even if you just print them on regular paper and cut them out with scissors, if you get them into people's hands, it's better than nothing. It doesn't really matter if they're ugly. Sometimes ugly gets people's attention. You could print them on some bright neon colored paper. And then your card is going to stand out if it gets put in a pile with other cards. Ideally, though, you do want it to look a little more professional than that. It's better if you can, you know, get some printed. Keep in mind, if you go to a local print shop, they're probably going to want to follow the route that most real estate agents go and have a picture of you and, you know, fancy, you know, pretty card. But, you know, if you do that, you're going to have to be clear that I don't want that. I want my message to be very clear. I want it to say this in big type so that people can clearly see the benefit. So what do you do with your business cards? The short answer is give them to everyone. You can give them to family members and friends and tell them to give them to people for you. You can give people an incentive to give out your business cards. For example, if someone they refer to you results in a deal, you'll pay them a certain amount for that referral. That's going to get more cards out. You can put the cards on bulletin boards, maybe even multiple cards per board if appropriate, in case someone takes one. You can put them at stores, at restaurants, and other places of business. You can, you know, go in there and ask if you can place a small stack at the cashier's area where people can see them and take one when they check out. Wherever you go, look for places to put these cards and people to give them to. When you're doing business at a certain place, before you leave, ask if you can leave some cards. When you're a client, they'll be less likely to say no. Not everyone will say yes, of course, and that's okay. Even if only one business agrees, many people could potentially see your message that wouldn't have otherwise. Tape your cards to things where people will see them, where appropriate. See if libraries will let you leave some. Leave some with your tip when you go out to eat. Leave them in coffee shops. My favorite local coffee shop has a table with some reading materials like newspapers. And some businesses leave flyers and things there, and I've put business cards there. Give them to professionals like mortgage brokers, lawyers, accountants, and so on. You never know which of these could get results. Get out as many cards as possible and continue to give them out on a regular basis. People lose them, you know, whatever. They get, people take them. So go back to places you've previously put out cards and see if they're still there. You'll need to restock them from time to time as people take them. So keep a steady supply of cards. This is one way that you can get many marketing lines in the water, and you never know when or where you might get a bite. Next, let's talk about flyers. Typically, a flyer has your marketing message printed on a normal size sheet of paper, you know, like 8.5 by 11. Flyers are basically like a business card, but bigger. You could put more information on it if you wanted, like on the back, but simple and clear is best. It's best if people can read it from far away. Here's an example flyer. It looks like one of the business cards we saw earlier. It doesn't have a lot of text on it. It's clear what you can do for them. It's clear how to contact you. The text is big with bold colors so it can't be missed. You can read this from a distance. Where to get flyers? Again, you can have them printed at a local print shop or online. They'll often look nicer if you do that because the paper may be thicker and the colors may be glossy. But if you can't afford it, just print them at home to start. They don't need to be fancy. Just be clear. If you print them at home, try printing them on brightly colored paper so they really get people's attention with black bold type. So where do you put these flyers? Again, anywhere you can. Bulletin boards around town are one option. Sometimes grocery stores and other businesses will have one of these bulletin boards near the entrance. Near my house, I've found a dry cleaner that had a bulletin board. Some convenience stores will have them. Walmart may have a spot to put where you could put flyers. Take them with you everywhere and look for opportunities. You know, whenever you're out and about around town. Another idea, you could pass them out in neighborhoods where you want to buy houses. You could either give them to people, put them in doors, whatever. Some small local businesses may allow flyers to be taped up in their display windows. For example, local coffee shops, music stores, convenience stores, grocery stores, pawn shops, and other places might allow you to put a flyer in the window. Yeah, of course, you have to ask them, and not all of them will let you. Many businesses will allow you to leave a little stack of them for people to take inside the store. You can also try local community centers. Laundromats can be a good place, either taped up or you may be able to leave a stack of them inside. Unemployment centers can be good. Someone that's unemployed may have a house they need to sell. At convenience stores, you may be able to either tape up a sign on the door if they allow that, or they might even let you leave a stack at the cashier's counter. You can give them to attorneys, insurance agents, mortgage brokers, and anyone else you can think of. If your city or area has special events like fairs, craft shows, and things like that, see if you can find ways to get your flyers and business cards into people's hands. Get creative and get your flyers out to as many places as you can. Wherever there are people, you want your message to be there too. Signs. First, let's talk about bandit signs. Bandit signs are those signs that you typically see on the side of the road or maybe on telephone poles. These are somewhat controversial, and in some areas they're illegal. So it's good to check the laws in your area before putting them out to know whether they're permitted and what might happen if you use them. If you see them in your area, it's possible they're legal, or maybe the law enforcement just isn't very strict. But be careful with that. Some investors have found that in their area, the people who enforce the rules about signs work Monday through Friday. So if they put out their signs Friday night and take them down Sunday, they can get away with putting them out. Now, I'm not recommending that you do this. I'm just sharing what some investors have reported has worked for them. If you use bandit signs, be responsible with it. Don't overdo it and make areas look trashy. If the signs blow over, pick them up. Try to take them down before people have to mow around them. Pick them back up before they cause problems for anyone. Really, if you annoy people, the more you annoy them, the more you're going to have problems with these. So try not to be too much of a nuisance. In areas where they're not legal, you could see if it's possible to get permission from landowners to put a sign on their property. For example, you could talk to business owners and homeowners to see if you could put a sign in their lawn for a certain period of time. You might even offer them a few bucks to do that. And again, make sure this is legal too before you do it. Some people get very upset over bandit signs. If you use them, be prepared for that possibility. I know when I used bandit signs, I felt very awkward doing it. You have to find somewhere to park and, you know, you put signs in the ground while people are driving by wondering what you're doing. It's a little uncomfortable. They work better for some types of leads than others. In my experience, when I put out signs for rent-to-own buyers, my phone was ringing off the hook. I got more leads than I could handle. But with motivated sellers, it may take a little while to even get one lead. But one good lead is really all you need in some cases. So it can be worth it, but don't expect tons of leads. You may have to put signs out for weeks or months before finding a deal. Where to get bandit signs? You can buy pre-made bandit signs online, or you might be able to have some made by a local sign shop. But you're probably going to find the best deals online. You can also make your own signs at home. For rent-to-own buyer leads, I had good success with handmade signs. I used bright neon-colored poster board and wrote on it with a giant marker. I made the signs really big and attached them to tomato stakes that I hammered in the ground with a rubber mallet. I found it worked best to have some kind of a cross piece of wood to keep the sign from folding over on itself. I attached it with staples. But you can do something smaller and simpler if you want. Keep in mind that people will be driving by these signs. You need to keep the message very clear, short, and simple. Make your phone number and or website clear and easy to read. Bigger is generally better. Buy or make signs that are bigger than the most common ones so they stand out and get people's attention. So at least 18 by 24 inches if possible. Now, this is where it's especially important that you have a website address that people can remember easily and isn't too long. Someone may only see it for a second or two when they drive by, so it needs to be easy to remember until they can get somewhere where they can write it down or look it up. This is also a good reason to have a mobile-friendly website, since people could pull over and look up your website on their phone. Just a simple message like, "I want to buy your house," or "rent-to-own homes," or "house for sale needs work, cash only," or "investor special, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, depending on, of course, who you're trying to attract, what kind of lead you want. And of course, your contact information is, you know, just the simple message and your contact information is usually enough. Handwritten signs can work better for buyers because people think they're more likely to get a deal since they're dealing with an individual rather than a big company. Many investors have found that yellow signs with black letters have worked best. But again, you may want to experiment with that and see what works best in your area. Of course, if a lot of investors have the exact same signs, it's probably not going to work. So you want to do something different. Where to put your signs? Again, make sure it's legal first and get permission if you can. In some cases, people are less likely to bother you if you supply your own stakes rather than putting them on public property like telephone poles. However, when signs are higher on poles, they're generally less likely to be pulled down than when they're in the ground where it's easy to get to and people may have to mow around them. Again, you are fully responsible for where you put your signs and any consequences that come from that. I'm not recommending you use them, but just letting you know that it's something that other investors have done. Ideally, you'd like to have your signs where people may be stopped rather than driving by at high speeds. You know, for example, like near intersections, stop signs, things like that. It's better not to put them where there are already several signs, because then you have to compete for people's attention. If you do put them in those kind of areas, make sure yours stand out and, you know, capture people's attention. Don't go overboard with these signs. Don't put up too many signs at once, because it can annoy people more and be more likely to attract the attention of people who may tell you to stop. Even if the signs are not breaking rules, if people are complaining to the authorities about them, the authorities may have to put rules in place to prevent these signs. Anytime you create extra work for someone, you're likely to have trouble. To save time, some investors will hire someone to put up and take down their signs for them. Some ideas for possible placement are near traffic lights, stop signs, highway exits, gas stations, exits of stores, near shopping malls, near home improvement stores, especially for sellers, you know, that they may own a home if they're going into places like Lowe's and Home Depot. In neighborhoods where you want to buy properties, you could put signs. Also near apartment complexes if you're trying to attract buyers, especially rent-to-own buyers. Next, let's talk about car signs. By doing this, you're going to make your car a driving billboard. If you can afford it, you can have large magnetic signs made that you can put on your car. You can put large ones on the doors. You could have one on the back of your vehicle if there's space. If you can't afford to have a sign made, another option is just to put a small sign on a sheet of paper and put it on your back windows. Since people may see it from a distance, you want to keep it very brief and include your contact information in large print. Just be careful not to block your view so that when you're looking in your rearview mirror, you can still see clearly. You don't want to get an accident over it. If your family members will allow you, put it in their cars too. If you have some sort of a trailer that you use, for example, if you have tools that you're using when doing repairs on houses, put your marketing message on that. The idea is to put your message anywhere people can see it. Next, let's talk about mailings and door hangers. Both of these are going to be dealing with reaching people at their homes. First, let's talk about postcards and letters. You can send things like postcards or letters to people in the mail. This is used most often to find motivated sellers. Now, it would be expensive to send something in the mail to every person in your area, so you can buy mailing lists of people that are more targeted. For example, you can buy lists of homeowner data that meets certain requirements. For example, a certain amount of equity in the home, or out-of-state owners, for example. Or you can get lists of people who are recently divorced. I know I've recently started receiving postcards in the mail from people saying they want to buy my house, and I believe it's based on how long I've owned the house. In the resources for this section, I'll show you a place where you can get these types of materials printed and also where you can buy mailing lists. Keep in mind that other investors may be mailing things to these same people, so they may start to ignore it or they might be skeptical, thinking that people are trying to take advantage of them. It can work, but keep in mind that you may need to make your mailings unique to stand out. Door hangers. You can have door hangers printed and hang them on the doorknobs of certain houses. Now, the one that I'm showing here is a design from a company called Yellow Letters, and they can print these for you. You could hang them on all the houses in a certain neighborhood where you want to buy properties, or you could hang them on the doors just of houses that are for sale by owner, for example. You know, use them however you want, but those are just a couple ideas. Next, let's talk about clothing. This way, you're going to be a walking billboard. So some examples would be t-shirts, hats, and so on. When you can afford it, have t-shirts, hats, or other clothing made that has your marketing message on it. Whatever you're doing around town, when you go out, you're advertising your business. You can even give these to other people. You know, people like free stuff, so if you have a bunch made and pass them out to people, you can have a whole army of walking billboards. You can also have other promotional items with your marketing message made that you can give out. The more practical the item, the more likely people will use it, which means people are more likely to see it. For example, how often does the average person actually use a drink koozie or a mouse pad? I mean, some do, but some might be more likely to use a tote bag or a keychain flashlight, a hand sanitizer or a hoodie, or a power bank for charging their phone. There are all kinds of promotional items you can have made with your marketing message on them. You'll probably find the best deals online, and you usually pay less the more you buy of the item. But I would suggest starting off with a small batch the first time to make sure the product is useful and it's high quality and works like you expected. One time I ordered hundreds of an item that didn't work like I expected. I ended up just donating them all to a thrift store, so I wasted hundreds of dollars. Next, let's talk about networking, where you'll be connecting with the right people. Networking is defined as to interact with other people to exchange information and develop contacts, especially to further one's career. Basically, it just means to meet people and let them know what you do and to find out what they do and exchange contact information. There are many ways to do this, and we'll discuss several ways. It's a good idea to have some business cards that you can pass out. It's an easy way to give people your contact information so that they'll have it later when they need it. In some cases, you may be able to give someone a small stack of business cards that they can give out to other people they come in contact with. You never know whose hands they may end up in, so any of those could result in a call or a visit to your website. Here are a couple places to find people: local real estate investor clubs and meetups. Likely, there are already real estate investors in your area who meet together. Attending these meetings can be really helpful. For example, if you need cash buyers for your property, there's a good chance someone at those meetings is looking for investment properties and can pay cash. Or you may find someone who has properties you'd be interested in buying. You might meet other types of people that work in other aspects of real estate, such as agents, appraisers, title agents, mortgage brokers, etc. Some of these people may come across properties you'd be interested in, so telling them what you're looking for and giving them your information, your contact information, is a good idea. But you may also need their services at some point, so it's wise to get their contact information too. Whether you're looking for properties or for buyers, or you want to get tips from more experienced investors in your area, including what works and what doesn't in your local area, these clubs and meetups can be a good source of information and potentially leads. So how can you find local real estate investors? Well, one option is to search on Google for phrases like Real Estate Investor Club Chicago, or whatever your city name is, or REIA Miami, for example, or whatever your city is. REIA stands for Real Estate Investors Association, and it's a nationwide organization. There are local groups in many cities. You can also visit the REIA website at nationalreia.org and look for local groups. Some of these organizations charge a fee to join, but others are free. Meetup.com is another site you can use to find local real estate investors. You can also sign up for a free account at biggerpockets.com and find real estate investors and other real estate professionals in your area. If there isn't already a group in your local area of investors that meet, you could start one. There are probably people in your area who would love to join but just don't want to start it. You can even contact other investors individually that you see putting out signs in your area or posting on Craigslist or other areas. You can let them know that you're a local investor too and you just wanted to get in touch and talk real estate. Let's talk briefly about high-end marketing. There's a couple categories here. The first is radio and TV. Radio and TV ads can be expensive, but one way you could start off would be to buy radio ads on talk radio stations. Since people listening to talk radio are used to listening to voices, they're more likely to listen to the ads, as opposed to music stations where people flip the station when they hear someone talking because they know it's an ad coming on. Often you can buy airtime late at night for less than peak times. And you might think no one's listening then, but sometimes older people who, you know, may have equity in their homes don't sleep a lot and they're up late at night or early in the morning listening. You could even catch someone who is up because they can't sleep because of their financial situation. Cable companies sometimes have a local ad channel that's not too expensive to advertise on. If you have a budget for it, you can even have a video commercial recorded, and you could start off airing it at off-peak times, like late at night. And if it goes well, you could even, you know, in your budget allows for it, you could, you know, go into times when more people are watching. Another category is billboards and things like that. So if you have a large enough budget, you could take out a billboard ad. This can be pretty expensive, but it definitely gives you a lot of exposure. This isn't something you'd want to start off with, but once you get some deals done, you may want to consider it. Similarly, you could take out an ad on a bus if your city has public buses. Some less expensive options might be at bus stops and benches, but these ads still usually require a significant budget. Newspapers. Newspapers are not as popular as they used to be, but they are still around. You know, they've been steadily declining. There are still people who read them daily. They're read mostly by people over 45 years of age, according to a report on journalism.org. In a survey to see how many people had read the daily newspaper the day before, here were the stats in 2015. I don't know, a couple years old, but still relevant. So 50% of people 65 and older had read the daily newspaper. So you see, you're going to be mostly getting ones that are a little bit older. And as the ages go down, the percentages go down also of people who have read the daily newspaper. So that gives you some idea. So you're going to be targeting a little bit older age group with newspapers. You can advertise in the classified section of the newspapers. You might also check into advertising in the online version of your newspaper, if there is one. In some cases, ads that run in the printed newspaper also appear online. In some cases, there may be separate ads that appear online. Some may even have a free online classified section. Next, let's talk about bird dogs, where you're going to pay people to fetch deals for you. Bird dogs are people who go out and find deals and bring them to you for a fee. There are different ways to structure these agreements. Generally, the better the information they're bringing you, the more you should be willing to pay. Usually, investors will pay the bird dog only if a deal results. It's best if you let them know specifically what you're looking for so they can find properties that meet your criteria. For example, if you want vacant properties, you can let them know, and when they find a vacant property, they can take a picture of it and send you the address and photos. Now, ideally, they could also look up the property owner's information and include that too. The more information they can send you, the better. Another option would be to just pay per lead, regardless of whether it results in a deal. Obviously, you would pay much less for this. The advantage to the bird dog is that they know they're going to get paid even if a deal doesn't result. That might be good for someone that's just starting off as a bird dog and they just really need some income short term. Generally, though, it works best for everyone to just pay for leads that result in a deal. That way, you only pay when you get a deal. There's nothing out of pocket if you don't have money coming in other words, or you don't have a property under contract. And this way, the bird dog has more incentive to find you good deals and not just submit junk to you. You can also pay them more this way. And finally, pay attention for new ideas. Pay attention to what other investors are doing, not only in your own local area, but if you travel to another city, look around for marketing materials that investors in that area are using. You might get a great idea that no one in your local area is doing yet. Also, pay attention to what people in other types of businesses are doing. In other words, things other than real estate. For example, you might get an idea from a local carpet cleaning business or a retail store or a pressure washing company for a way to get people's attention and get them to contact you. Sometimes doing something other investors in your area aren't will help you to stand out and get people's attention. So here are the key takeaways from this section. Pay attention to where people are, especially ones who would be interested in what you have to offer. Find a way to get your message in front of them. Use business cards, flyers, and signs to get your marketing message in front of people. Use car signs and t-shirts and other clothing to advertise everywhere you go. Network with people who are involved with real estate one way or another. Look for ways to work together and help each other out. And be on the lookout for new ideas. See what investors are doing in other areas and what people are doing to market other types of businesses.